I count it a great privilege for me to be in your midst today. And I pray that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I would have loved my brother to keep that introduction very simple. That introduction is not necessary. It's too long. But I appreciate this honor and this privilege. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you. We give you praise because you are good and your mercies endure forever. It's our prayer, Lord, that in mercy you will bring your word to us very powerfully. You will change, you will train, you will transform our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. We are praying that your word will come very expressly. It will come to change, it will come to transform us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, we have the privilege of sharing for these 3 days something very crucial. Now, we want to appreciate all our brothers who have put this particular meeting together. May the Lord bless you, all our leaders and our brothers, for this that God has used you to bring together. Now, our prayer is that we will touch the mind of God. We will touch the mind of the Father concerning this particular topic. Now, I don't consider it as a topic. I see it as a matter. Now, we have the privilege of sharing for these 3 days something very crucial. Now, we want to appreciate all our brothers who have put this particular meeting together. May the Lord bless you, all our leaders and our brothers, for this that God has used you to bring together. Now, our prayer is that we will touch the mind of God. We will touch the mind of the Father concerning this particular topic. Now, I don't consider it as a topic. I see it as a matter. We are looking at something very crucial and very germane. It is the finished works of Christ. That's a very powerful statement, though very much misunderstood. The finished works of Christ. May the Lord grant us light in Jesus' name. When you look at that statement, the finished works of Christ, that connotes something to you very, very importantly. That one, there is a work. I'm talking about the theme of this conference now. One, there is a work. The work of Christ. Please, I want you to take note of the theme. The finished works of Christ. The finished work of Christ. So first, there's a work. Two, there's a personality, Christ. And then three, finished. You see, those three things are powerful. The word finished, then work, then Christ. They are important to us in this theme. And then under this theme, we will be looking at talking about salvation, redemption, justification, righteousness, and sanctification. Now, they may be familiar words, but I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will grant us light. So let's begin this way. I like to start under God by saying, Christianity is not a religion. I remember there was a time I was evangelizing to a Muslim. And the Muslim asked me, he said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "No." "Are you a Muslim?" I said, "No." I said, "What do you mean? Are you an atheist?" I said, "No." And they said, "Who are you? What do you mean?" He said, "Which church do you belong to?" I said, "I don't belong to any church group." He was startled because, now don't get me wrong, I attend a church denomination. But I knew what he was asking for, and I was answering him based on scriptures. Let me first begin by saying, you will spend your life in confusion until you have a revelation of scriptures. Your Christian life and Christian journey will be wobbling. It will not be smooth. there'll be too much of backsliding and rising up and backsliding because you lack conviction based on revelation of scriptures. Until there is a revelation by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God, your struggle continues. Now, the topic, I will be saying topic, but it's not a topic. It's a matter. It's a matter that God must lay bare very strong in our hearts. Let's start from here. Salvation. What's salvation? Now, we will be considering the theme texts given to me by our brothers. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. I'm so excited about this 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 because it was the scripture that the Lord used to break me away from the life of the flesh. Now I'm trusting the Lord that you will even see deeper than what I'm saying. Now, this session is not for those who think they know. It's for those who are trusting God, as I'm trusting God myself, that we will glean deeply from the Father's heart. So let's start. What's salvation? Salvation is from the root word sozo. And the study of salvation is the study called soteriology. There's a reason why I'm doing that. Soteria. And what is the meaning of that? You see, the other word we can bring out from salvation is the word to be saved. And the root rendition of that word soteria or sozo means well-being, deliverance. Please take note of what I'm saying. Well-being, deliverance, being set free. Now, that's by definition. Please, I'm trusting that the Lord will help you understand it. Please follow. By definition, salvation is well-being, is deliverance. But by application, it's a little bit technical. Because the word salvation by application will be that we have to consider the usage from scriptures. You see, the problem of those who teaches the word of God and they are not ready to help us, but they are called based on their belly or they want to show how much they know, is that people are just defining terms from scriptures without looking at the application. Until we have properly gleaned from definition and the application of that word from scriptures, we cannot have a balanced Christian living. So please, I trust Baba that he will help us. What does it mean to be saved? Turn your Bible to John chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 3. It's familiar, but there was an insight that the Lord brought to my heart in a meeting that I want to share with us. Now, looking at John chapter 3, I read from verse number 3. Now, it's very, very clear because we know about it, but we trust that the Lord will bring us his assistance. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, Jesus Christ, the truth, is saying something very crucial. Except a man be born again. Now, that already tells you something. If he's not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see. And he went further to say he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, salvation is well-being, is deliverance. Now, is deliverance from something into something. Are you with me now? Salvation is not confession. It's not mere confession. I'm saved. Mm-mm. Salvation is a reality and an experience with proofs. Salvation is not a program. It's not a follow-up. It's not a follow-up topic. That after you are born again, then understanding salvation, lesson one. It's not lesson one. It is a reality of the finished works of Christ. I'm going to trust the Lord that we will take it gradually. It's a reality, it's an experience with proofs. It is not theoretical. It's not a cliche. To be born again is not a cliche. It's not a Christian language. It's an experience with proofs. So, look back again at John chapter 3. You see the Bible says, except a man be born again. Now, that tells you that that man was born before. Now, I know some of you are familiar with this, but let's go gradually. It's a study. It's a study. Except a man be born again. He's been born before. What does it mean to be born before? That is what verse 6 explains. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. To be born before is to be born in the flesh. How were we born in the flesh? The flesh there is a system. To be born of the flesh. Did you see the Bible? And I look at King James language. King James didn't say in verse 6, that which is born in the flesh. I correct that. He said that which is born of the flesh. Permit me, I will stay on King James. That which is born of, not in the flesh. We are all born in the flesh. Jesus was born in the flesh, but Jesus was not born of the flesh. All of us that were born in the flesh and born of the flesh. Of the flesh means we are essentially a product of the fallen nature. Because the flesh is not just your physical flesh. The flesh, by biblical application, is a system of operation of the life of the fallen man. So, when we were all born, as a result of what Adam did, you know the rest of the story. By their fall, oh God help us, by their fall, now let's quickly clarify something as we trust the Lord. Because it's important, before we will look at what did Christ came to finish. Why did we call it finished work? Now, can we do a little study on this fact? I have heard people say, it's God that caused the problem of the world. I say, how? They said, when God knew that they will eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why did he create it? They say, when God knew, why did God create it? Is God now? Didn't he know? You see that now? Can we first take note of this? God created the tree of the knowledge. Take note of this. Do you know the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a fruit? Do you know it's a fruit? And what do you do to a fruit? You eat fruit. God is not a waster. He created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he also created the tree of life. Go back to your Bible. you will find out that there are two trees in the midst of the garden. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 8 and 9, Genesis the second chapter and the 8th verse, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Take note of this. Take note of this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at this in verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Every tree is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Every tree pleasant to the sight, good for food. If you are looking at King James, you will see a semicolon. What tree is pleasant to the sight and good for food? One, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So how many trees are in the middle of the garden? You see that verse 9 says, he created them trees that are good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, you see, comma, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there are two trees in the midst. And he said he created all trees pleasant to the sight and good for food. So God ordained that the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to be eaten. He had a plan for their eating it, but he had a time for their eating it. You see, God does not, he didn't create the tree for wastage. No. He created it to be eaten, only that he tied a time to it. Why? God was coming in the cool of the day to fellowship with him. Now, take note of this. Adam, when he was created and formed, he didn't know good and evil. He didn't know what was good. In fact, the Bible says, it was God who said, it is not good for him to be alone. He didn't know whether it was good or not. Adam didn't know what was good, and he didn't also know what was evil. All Adam knew was God. He didn't know good, didn't know evil, he knew God. God wanted to fellowship with him deeply. And you know, God knows good and evil. Do you know God knows good and evil? But God does not, will not be ruled by evil. He's not inclined to do evil. He has no evil in his nature. Are you following now? God has no evil in his nature. Though he knows evil, he does not do evil. Now, I know somebody may say, but the Bible says I create good and evil. We will go into such answering such questions because sometimes we miss scriptures. God is good. That's what the Bible says. God is good. God is love. Love is good. God is not evil. He can't be evil. Bible says in him is light and there is no darkness in him at all. 1 John. No darkness, no evil in him at all. But he knows evil. Now, God made Adam without knowing good, without knowing evil. God wanted to expose himself to Adam first so that Adam will know the God who is essentially good. No, the fellowship with Adam was to help him constantly to meet with God who essentially is good, so that after he will have now eaten the knowledge, he will not have knowledge of good, but since he knew God before good, he will essentially behave like God, who is good. But the problem is, he had it from the wrong source. When Adam ate, take note of this, when God created him, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us, you see that now, the let us there connotes that it was not only Yahweh, Jehovah, that made man. When I say that made man, that means it was the contribution of the Godhead. Because the initiator is the Father. But the contribution of the Son, which was the Word. Hope you know, Jesus Christ essentially is the Word of God, not the Son of God. It was when he became flesh, he became the Son of God. Hope you know Christ. The word Jesus Christ is his name because he was born in the flesh. Essentially, before he was, now take note of that statement, in the flesh. I didn't say born of the flesh because I'm going back there by the grace of God. When, you know, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And then in verse number 14, he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten, that's the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you find out that Jesus is the Word. So when the Bible says, let us, it was referring to the Word and the Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That, you see that now? Look at this. After our likeness, what we look like. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And, you see that? Let them have, not let them get dominion. You see, man was essentially created not to get anything, but to have. He said, let them have, not let them get. They don't get, they just must have. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hope you know by verse 26, the devil has been sent down to the earth. So man was supposed to dominate even the devil on the earth. Because he was created to dominate everything on the earth. So, and the devil has been sent to the earth. So, Adam was the God of this world. He was, because let us make man in our, after our likeness. And God said, let us make him like us. So, Adam was the God of the earth. He is the God of this earth when he was made. But, because he would not listen to the Lord, you know the rest of the story. Satan came, and we will not go into that. Satan did not come like a real Satan into the Garden of Eden. Hope you know, according to Genesis chapter 3, he masked himself. And that's the, if the devil had come in his real nature, they would discover him. Hope you know, when he left heaven, he was cursed. So he was totally, he lost glory. There's nothing in him that is worthy to behold. So if he had approached Eve in his real nature, Eve would have known that this is a strange person. But he came friendly. He came with one of the animals in the garden. Now, we will not delve into that for today. But you find out that, after Eve, you see, go back to that scripture. There is a lot the Holy Ghost can show you. You know why? The origin of salvation is from the fall in the Garden of Eden. And until you understand it from Genesis, you can't pick it from the cross and just say, oh, thank God for the cross. No. You have to pick it from the beginning to understand the ending. Are you with me now? So, you discover that the serpent deceived Eve. And you know the story. Eve ate, and Eve gave to her husband. Don't go into argument of, some people say maybe Adam traveled. No, Adam didn't travel. Look at your Bible. Bible is not confusing. Say maybe when Adam went out, Adam didn't go out. And so how did the serpent engage Eve? That's for another day. What we saw was that the devil engaged Eve. Eve engaged her husband and the earth. Take note of this. When Eve ate, her eyes was not open. Hope you know who ate first, the woman. The problem of man is not the tree, it's the rebellion. From whose mouth did you receive instruction? Please, hope you know where we are going is salvation. But we want to see it, trusting the Lord, that he will grant us insight. So, did you follow me to that point? But when the woman ate, the Bible didn't say their eyes was open. No. It was when he gave, when she gave it to Adam, the seal of God's creation. That's when the eyes of both were open. Now, take note. They found that they were naked. That's the beginning of the understanding of salvation. They found that they were naked means they found out they were stripped. They've been naked before. Hope you know what I mean by they've been naked before. Eh? They've been naked. They don't wear clothes. But they were not naked. Oh, you're not following me. They did not wear clothes because God did not have clothes in mind when he created man. You know why? Man is not naked. Oh, did you hear me? The clothes of man was glory. You see, the way God... Now, let me ask you, does God wear clothes? Eh? How can you say God wear clothes? Is, well, if you say you clothe God, how can you clothe God with the material of the earth? Oh, you didn't follow me. Where was God before he made the earth? Where is clothes gotten from? Clothes is gotten from the earth. From cotton wool. Abi? Aha. So, God, you can't say God wears clothes. You can't clothe God. God does not need to be clothed. Because he's not naked. It's somebody that is naked that should be clothed. You only wear clothes for a naked person. That through this time, you are not just going to increase in knowledge. You know, people like knowledge. They will just say, this is true. Excuse me. We are dealing with a matter, not knowledge, not theory. In Genesis, the third chapter, and you look at verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. Not that they were blind before. The word opened means they came to a consciousness. That's the meaning. Not as if they were blind before. They were not blind. They came to a consciousness. You see that now? And they knew that they were naked. Oh, look at that. They knew that they were. You see that? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because..." Why was he afraid? "Because I was naked." That statement there is, I'm afraid because I've lost something. I'm afraid because I've been stripped of authority and dominion. I'm afraid because I've lost my place. I've lost... Look at this. God could come in the cool of the day and Adam could look at God face to face. Now, if anybody sees God, you will die. Hope you know now, if you see God, you will die. Nobody can see God. But Adam was seeing God. That's glory. Moses could only see glory parts. Adam was not seeing glory parts. Adam was beholding... Oh, you don't understand. Eh? That means that before, the real Shekinah glory of God's presence can be beheld by man face to face, eyeball to eyeball. That's why our eyes have physical dimension and spiritual dimension. You know why? These eyes of yours can see physical things, and even these eyes can see spiritual things. Every part of your body carries two dimensions. They have spiritual dimension and physical dimension. Your ears, that's why some people can hear, you can hear audible voice, you can admit audible voice of God, you can hear the voice of the Spirit with your physical ears. You can hear languages with your physical ears. So your ears, your body have capacity for physical things and spiritual things. I'm praying. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I repeat it. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Take note of that word. All have sinned. Now, you are not a sinner because of what you are doing. You are a sinner because of who you are. Please take note of this. Because we are dealing with the finished work of Christ. You are not a sinner because of what you are doing. Lying does not make you a sinner. Anger does not make you a sinner. Fornication does not make you a sinner. Masturbation does not make you a sinner. You are a sinner because that's who you are. It's a nature. It's that nature that produces masturbation, pornography, anger, lying, exaggeration. Is the nature in you that made you like that. So you don't deal with the act, you deal with the source. You see a sister struggling with lying. You see somebody still struggling with lust. Why? It is understanding that is missing. So listen to me. You can't truly understand salvation and not enter the experience. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we want you to help us. Baba, you will need to help us to revisit our foundation of understanding of who we believed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you spend time tonight to pray and recheck? Have I truly entered the experience of salvation? Or, yes, truly, Lord, I received you, but I lack understanding. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Let that be your prayer tonight. God bless you. Thanks for the privilege. Now, take note that except a man be born again, he cannot see. To be born again is to carry the life from above. Who brought that life? Jesus brought that life from above. He brought it down below. So that as many that will now believe in him, he will exchange that life into them and collect their own life. Oh, do you understand this? Listen. To be born again. Do you know, let me ask you, was Jesus ever born again? That's a question. I put it to you this way. I will say it in English. When your own father is working, do you pass by pocketing? If at all he says, leave it, let me finish what I'm doing. You know, there are some fathers like that. There are some men, I've heard about some, that is, they are washing clothes, even their wife cannot collect it from them. They prefer to wash their clothes and maybe iron their clothes by themselves. Some fathers just prefer, you know why? They feel that you can't do it well as they want to do it. So also, God took the responsibility of our redemption upon himself. We can't do it. He brought the law, but the law couldn't help. So he had to take it upon himself to finish it. But excuse me, if your daddy is now walking and is washing, and he said, daddy, Emuasa, bring it, sir. He says, no, don't worry. For the fact that he said, don't worry, let me finish it by myself. When you are passing, what do you normally say? Well done, sir. Is that not normal courtesy? Now, when you begin to treat the works of Christ as if it's nothing, it means you have no value for what he did. You see, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But can I quickly conclude with you, brothers and sisters, that you cannot understand salvation at the same time love iniquity. It's not possible. It's not possible, sir. I plead with you by the mercies of God. It's a work to finish something. God worked through Christ to bring us out of something into something, out of an order into an experience. That's why it is called redemption, restoration, reconciliation. You see, the first word is re. What's re? The word to re is to bring back. That's why it is redemption, restoration, reconciliation, regeneration. Do you see that? It's a re. So salvation is to bring back to order. There's a re. What's regeneration? That means he's been generated before, but he was lost. So let's regenerate. What is reconcile? He's there before, but he's now a rebel. Bring him back. So understand that salvation is soteria, a bring back to order. And a bringing back to order carries his own proofs. Before we go to that, let's look at how did Christ finish the works. My time is up. Now, I want you to note that the theme of this conference is the finished works. That's why I said, you can't do away work. It's work, too. Jesus walked. So when I see people confessing, how do I put it now? They confess, hallelujah, he died for me. You don't talk like it's not a work. Hope you know your salvation came by sweat and work. It's important for our understanding. Not your sweat, not your work, but his own work. Now, let me say this. I found out that from the Greek word born again, it is a person. In fact, the root word again, that born again, is to carry the life from above. Oh, I was like, my God. To be born again is to have the life from above. And he that carries the life from above is above all. You see that? Oh, look at this now. Look at this now. God wanting to reorder us back did something. You see, I'm going to jump a lot because I've omitted the law of Moses, the Mosaic law and the Ten Commandments, because it was just a guide to school us. Do you understand? Aha. But when Jesus came, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to him because he came. Amen. God now sent Christ, Jesus, as a man. Now, please, who sinned? Man. Who must be restored? Man. It's not God that sinned. So Jesus Christ did not, listen, please don't get it wrong. Jesus Christ had to come as a man because it's man that sinned. It's man that rebelled. It's man that must be saved. It's man that must be restored. So it's man that must do the work. Only that Christ is now doing a representative work. We are going to look at it, trusting Baba to help us. That's what the concept of salvation in the New Testament is. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. That's why I say, he that endured to the end shall be. Those are the three applications. That's why I said, salvation is not confession. Until you go back to the application of scriptures, you will understand it holistically, what the Lord meant. So, as we close, I want you to go back to John chapter 3 and see Jesus said, except a man be born again. So, don't say you are born again, born again, hallelujah, born again. Brother, no. When I check the root word born again, see what he told me that shocked me. He said, if you come to my church and you see me when I preach, you read. I said, brother, the Bible is in your head, it's not in your heart. That's what I told him. I said, look, you are being deceived. You have been manipulated. So, salvation is not Bible knowledge. Oh, it's not Bible knowledge. It's not quoting scriptures. We know the Bible. Eh? We quote scripture. But that's not salvation. Salvation is a redemption. A bring back to order. In fact, another word for salvation is bring back to its original state. Bring back to the other. That's why you find the concept of salvation in the New Testament as we are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. Take note of that. Please take note of that. Very profoundly. Except, a man be born again. Now, do you see why I'm slow? Because all people, are you born again? Everybody is born again now. Everybody, a drunkard now is born again. I was going out to preach one time. I was shocked. I branched a beer parlor because the Holy Spirit just told me to branch that place. I saw all kinds of people there, especially young people. That was what shocked me most. Secondary school student in a beer parlor. You know? So I branched and I stood in front of the gate. And the man I was preaching to, with an alcohol in his hand, listen to me now, he's a pastor of a church. Eh? And he was telling me that his members are in that place doing day. I said, which members? Say, my members are Yahoo boy. You know, I have to be here. Hey, pastor. God is not saving you to confess. you don't understand. It was a whole agenda that was truncated. A whole divine agenda was truncated. And it has plunged the world into thousands of years of darkness. So, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for confession's sake. It's an experience to go back into the intention of God. So, Jesus now said in John chapter 3, but when he created and formed the man, he didn't need to walk again. Because man was supposed to take over and rule the earth on his behalf. But since man now fell, he had to go back to walk. That's why Jesus came and used the language, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. He said, he that told my father walk. So he that has rested in Genesis has resumed walk again. Why did God resume walk? Because of the fall of man. He planned to actually rest. His plan was to rest. Rest not because he was tired. Rest because man was supposed to continue. But now that this man has lost and is now stripped naked, we need to go back to work to redeem him first, to save him first, to bring him back to well-being, to deliverance, because man entered bondage through the nature of rebellion. Now, do we get it to that point? We will round up on this point, because I wanted you to see what necessitated salvation. Because I see people confessing, hallelujah, I'm born again. You miss it. You don't understand what God is saying. Are you following now? Now, it's not that God is the one that made him to sin, for God cannot do that. It's not that God is the one who likes Adam to sweat and to suffer. It's not the Lord. But Adam is a being of choice. I wish I could teach on choice. Adam is a being of choice. He will not be influenced. He must choose. So man chose. And that's why even the plan of salvation took long. Because man must choose. So, did you get it to that point? That was now the foundation for redemption. You now find out that since that time, God could not rest again. Hope you know the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested. Not that he was tired. Not that God slept. He rested. He rested not because he was tired. He rested for another man, for man to continue the works. Because immediately he created man on the sixth day, he has created his representative. So he doesn't need to be walking again on the earth. Hope you know he was creating the moon, he was creating this, he was creating that. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter number 3 and then verse 19, he said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So you see, the Bible said it that he was cursed. Adam was called. Look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coat of skins and clothed them. They rebel, yet he clothed them. Now take note. You know, take note of what that means. The clothing was a covering. You know, they did not need to be covered before. That means they were not saved before. They don't need to be saved before. Mm-mm. They don't need to be redeemed before. It is now that these people are naked. Fig leaves. No. He clothed them with his skin. Where did he get his skin? The coat. Coats of skin. Which skin? It's an animal skin. That was where God first offered the blood. So, you see, immediately they fell, God judged them. But you see, the blood of bulls and rams and animals could not take away the nature of rebellion. Hope you know, sin is a nature. Sin is not acts. is a nature with its own acts that is called the works of the flesh. You see, until you deal with sin as a nature, your struggle continues with sin. Until you deal with it as a nature, it's a nature, it's a law. Sin is a law. Sin is a system of a rule that we inherited from Adam. So when Adam ate the tree, it's not the tree God made him like that. It's the rebellion. It's the, I won't listen to God. I listen to another person. That's the problem. Are you following now? So when God killed that animal, that was the foundation. That was the similitude. That was the symbolic meaning of what Christ was coming to do.